Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Stand up in the house. Everybody, stand up in the house and give him your very best. We have the risen Savior in the house. Come on. You can do better than that. Give him your very best. Father, we worship you. Wait a minute. Hold on. You're going to do more than that at your Super Bowl party tonight when you watch the Patriots lose. Yeah. Wait, did you just hear how loud you shouted? Don't you dare give him less than that. Give him your very best. Give him your very best. Yes. Father, we worship you. We worship you. You are Alpha. You are Omega. You are beginning and you are the end. And we give you our very best. We give you the first fruits. We give you the first fruits of our labor. We give you the first fruits of our worship. Did you hear what I said? I didn't say the tithe. I said the first fruits. No, I'm not taking an offering right now. You're missing the whole point if you're thinking money right now. We're talking about the first fruits of everything. He said the first fruits is his. Not just money. He said the first fruits are his. Why? Because it's your best fruits. He said, give me your best fruits, which are the first fruits. If you have rotten fruit, give it to somebody. Give it to the pigs. Don't give it to Jesus. If you have bad worship, don't give it to Jesus. Give it away. Get rid of it. If you got bad, lazy worship, don't worship lazy. Come before him with everything you got inside of you, and you recognize what he said. I want your first fruits. So when you give your best cheer to Christ, when you give everything that's within you to Christ, everything else falls into place. All of a sudden, I'm not kidding, I'm the biggest football fan there is in the room, barring Pam Patton, maybe. I am the biggest football fan in the room, but I'm going to tell you something. When I lose my voice over football, and I'm not willing to lose it over Jesus Christ, I'm just saying, I'm not asking you to shout as loud as me, because I got loud pipes, and I know that. And I got a microphone. But the reality is, I used to go and we would sing at a church years ago. I won't tell you the name of it, this little church outside of Steelville. This is how the pastor would start every phrase. Well, the way I see it. Let me tell you how God sees it. God says the first fruits are mine. Your best everything is mine. He said, when you go to work in the morning, work like you're working unto me. That's what he said. So give him your first fruits of your labor, of your finance. Give him everything. Start your day off with Start your day off with him, praying in his presence. I texted Pastor Mike Bowie this morning. I said, I am praying that the Lord will so take you and allow you to bring us, and I'm talking about leading us as a group into the Holy of Holies, that holy place called his presence. Are you there yet? Because if you're not there yet, you better run in quick. We're about to have a message that is amazing about prioritizing your life from Pastor Carl Thanen, pastor of discipleship and fellowship here at SCRC. God is in the house. I noticed that Nate was standing just a few minutes ago and worshiping alongside of you. I noticed that. And I'll tell you who else notices it. God notices that Nate works hard to stand in the presence of God and worship. You want a surprise? You come next Sunday. I'm going to do something I've never done in 16 years. My wife just went, "Oh my Lord." I know I'm not shaving my head. That's another thing I haven't done in 16 years, but this is going to be amazing. Next week, I'm promising you something. If you love the foundations of those who have gone before us, and you appreciate the sacrifice of those who have gone before us, next week, you better be here, because we're going to do something together as a church family that you have never seen in 16 years. In fact, I don't think I've ever done this in my entire ministry, but I'm going to do it next week. Next week. Listen, God's in the house though this week. Are you ready? I want you to do this. There's some very important people in this room. You. And God gave his life. We've got some Seiferts in the room. Where did Tim and Crystal go? Tallest guy in the world. Where are they at? There they are. What are you doing back there? No. Hey, listen. I want all 450 of you to go on over there and just love on that tall, good-looking guy and that beautiful bride of his. I had the privilege of, how long have you all been married now? Why did you hesitate? Tim, I noticed that you started counting fingers there. 8 years. 8 years ago, they stood on this platform and got married. It is the Seiferts are in the house again today. Would you give them a hand? They are home. We love the Seiferts. Love your mom and dad. Love your family, man. The Seiferts are anchor part of this church family. We love the Seifert family. I am so thrilled that you all are here. I'm thrilled more than that even that God is in the house. I said I'm even more excited that God is in the house. God is in the house. God is in the house. I know Pastor Carl is around here somewhere. I know I can't. There he is. Sat down. You sat down. You sat down. You're easier to spot when you're standing, man. Hey, listen, God is in the house. I just wanted to mention to you before I bring Pastor Carl up here that last week, last Sunday after church at 3:00, if y'all didn't see it on Channel 5, Frank Cusimano's piece on Channel 5, I did not get to see it until Pam actually showed it to me. Last week, Nate and Melissa got to dedicate, and I had the privilege with Pastor Harvey. I'm his wingman. Wherever Pastor Harvey goes, I fly on his wing, you know? And a goose. Did you call me a goose? He's Maverick. I get it. Okay. So anyway, we got to be at the dedication of the Habitat for Humanity home that is being built for and constructed for Nate and Melissa. They close this coming Friday. This coming Friday. Father, we worship you. You ought to see it. Y'all are invited over their first night in the house. Melissa's going to have full dinner. It's going to be an all-on dinner. No problem. I just kind of assumed that you wanted me to place that invitation publicly. That's okay. So we are excited about what God is doing in the house. Do you know that God is waking up those who have never been awake in him before? And he's reviving those who have been and whose spirits grew cold. He is reviving those spirits in this house. And I believe we're seeing it. We're seeing a result of that in you. Not just church attendance. We're seeing it in the stories that I'm hearing. The stories that I continue to hear from you. Can I tell you something? Go give it away. Because God is in the house. If you want to bring somebody to a place that wants to honor God and wants to lift Christ up and let the Spirit of God move, bring them on to St. Charles River Church because God is in the house. God is in the house. Listen, Pastor Carl came to me, we meet for breakfast every Tuesday morning. The roosters aren't even crowing at that time in the morning. But we have breakfast every Tuesday morning, and he said something to me not long ago. He's going to share some stories with you. And I looked right at him, I said, "There's your next message." That's powerful. No, I'm serious, it's powerful. If you all get ready, if you're a note taker, get ready to take notes. Because this early in the year, God is challenging us. Last month was the month of transformation. The month of February, we are declaring the month of commitment. The month of commitment. Because it's getting serious time. Investment time's almost over. The harvest time's almost here. So now, this month, we're declaring the month of commitment. Where are you in your commitment to Christ? Where are you in your commitment to your church family? Where are you? And let me just step back one. After I say Christ, everything else ought to fall in the right order. It's not like one comes before the other. Your commitment to Christ equals your commitment to your family, your commitment to your church family, and your commitment to the harvest. If you're really committed, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we're really committed to him, number one, all those other things, the word says, will be added unto us, and it will come. Not costing the other. One portion will never cost another. Would you welcome Pastor Carl Thanen? He is coming to deliver the word. Hey, buddy. Enjoy.
Good morning, everybody. Hot mic.
Good.
It is good to see all of you.
Yes.
I'm so excited about today. I know yesterday on Facebook, somebody was sharing something. I know Pam knows about this because she was commenting on it too. And there's other ladies in the house that I just happen to, I don't get on Facebook a lot, maybe once a day, just get on there, see what's going on. And I get on there and I see that they're all commenting on this phrase that it says the first part, we should get more excited about coming to church than being at the Super Bowl, which
yes.
You all would agree with, right?
Yes.
Well, the second part says, so on Sunday when your pastor makes a point, you should dump a whole cooler of Gatorade over the top of them. And they're just going on and on and on. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. They're all talking about Pastor Barry. We want to dump it on him and all that. And I'm sitting there going, uh-oh. I'm going to be at the wrong place at the wrong time tomorrow. And there's... yeah, exactly. He's right here, everybody. If I make a point, be sure to get him. He's right there. And I kept thinking the whole time, my message title is, what is the point of this? So I guess I actually have to make a point. So I kept thinking, I'm pretty doomed. And so then I was thinking about the people who were on there, you know, Pam and Franny and Lauren O'Brien. And I'm thinking, are they really crazy? Well, if I listen to the stories that their husbands say, then I'm thinking the answer is crazy with a capital K, baby. So I am not taking my eyes off you. I'm glad two of you are sitting right over there with that cooler. I can watch you. So every time I turn around, I'm just going to have my perception going here. One other thing that people don't know about today very much in the country that's not publicized, like the Super Bowl, of course, which is it's Boy Scout Sunday. And so scouts at a lot of churches are doing special things and serving. And I just thought it was great, being a formal Eagle Scout myself, that I get to speak to you today. So I thought that was pretty fun. Once an eagle, always an eagle. We're different people. I'll say that, you know, we can be weird. And my son has now joined the ranks of the Eagles. So I'm glad he got to help make all the stuff that you're going to see today. And then I'm going to call up another eagle that I know is in the auditorium today, is Dexter over here. I wanted him to share a testimony with you on what he shared with us, and I thought it was so good that you all need to hear what's going on in his life, because you all get the credit for it too.
Thank you. Carl told me I had like 90 seconds to do this in, but 99 seconds. So my testimony is, and my story is, actually starts about a year ago. So a year ago, I started coming to River Church, and just before that, I got laid off from a job and eventually found one fairly quickly in February of last year. But it wasn't the kind of job that I normally did. It was what we called a contract job. So I was a contractor working at Enterprise, and I had 1 year contract. And so now fast forward to November of last year, and I'm getting worried. I am getting worried. And so I start talking to the company, I start talking to Enterprise, and they're all, yeah, it's fine, just don't worry about it, don't worry about it. Well, just before Christmas, another person I'd been working with for about a year trying to get me employed said, oh, I got the perfect job for you, got the perfect job. And I'm like, okay, here. He had been trying for years to get me on with his company. And so we filled out all the paperwork, and then right after Christmas, I'm like, okay. And he says, well, this company takes a while. And I'm like, oh, okay. So we start the fast in January. And Carl's been talking with us in small group about fasting and praying and stuff. And So I says, okay, God, this is yours. I'm not going to worry about it no more. Whatever happens, happens. And so first week of the fast went by, and actually I'm not worried about it anymore. I've turned it over. Second week of the fast goes by. Again, I'm feeling pretty good. So during the third week, I got called, interviewed, and on Friday of that week, got the job offer. So it really dawned on me. It all came together. And so that's kind of the first part of the story. But actually, the story continues, and I really haven't told Pastor Carl about this part. So they always talk about, Pastor Perry, they talk about it's fasting, it's praying, and it's giving. And that the giving will always come back to you. So during the interview, I mentioned we were, you know, they always try to set up, well, when, you know, when are you going to start, what's your salary, and all that kinds of stuff. So we went through all of this, and I wanted to start a little bit later, and they, no, we need you right now, and back and forth. So I kind of explained to her some financial retirement things that were going to be affected by this date. And just out of the blue, she said, well, we'll increase it some. I'm like, okay, sure. I'm like, wow, I didn't ask for it. I didn't, you know. And so I'm thinking, okay, this is great. So they do the background checks. I finally get the call the next week, which would be the fourth week of the fast. I get the call from the HR people, and they do the same thing. When you're going to start, what's your salary and stuff. So I went through the whole story with the HR about what I talked to the hiring manager. And so out of the blue, well, what if we do this and this? He bumps it up even more. I'm like, okay, sounds awesome to me, right? So we get through that week, and then we get through the weekend, and now it's Monday of this last week, and we're almost down to the end of the fast, and I finally get the offer letter from the company, the official letter. Well, the official letter actually bumped it up even more, and so what I originally had asked for was doubled by the company. So giving your best, as Pastor Perry was talking this morning, giving your very best, giving and giving, it'll come back. And I was just praise the Lord. It was great. And he came through, and I have nothing else but praise for God. Yes.
Nice job, Jack. Man, I love you, bro.
Yeah, he's going on the mission trip with us. You will be hazed. But it's because we love you. Dexter, what a great story. That is what I expect to hear more of all year long. When people dedicate and start their year off with fasting and prayer and giving and dedicating and devoting themselves to God, this is what will happen. And I wanted everybody to hear it. Yeah, when you go on a fast, you're going to not eat. Absolutely. You're going to lose weight. But that's not why you do it. You do it so you hunger for the things of God. And I told my small group the reason why my wife and I have done it every year for over 15 years now is I want to make sure to prove to myself that I'm addicted to nothing else in the world except for the Lord himself. So no caffeine, no donut is sweet enough. Nope. Even though people will set them right in front of you as soon as you say you're going to start. Happens every year. Oh, I was just thinking of you. I made your favorite cookies. Here's a whole 10 of them. Yeah, well, it happens every year. So you just get used to it, but you stay dedicated to it, and that is what I believe. My wife and I have been talking about, you know, what is the Lord saying right now? And the thing that keeps coming to her, and guys, if you're married, I've done a lot of premarital counseling over the years, and I tell the guy sitting in there, you think you're going to hear everything first from God, but I'm going to tell you how it really works. God speaks to your wife, and then your wife speaks to you, and you got to be man enough to go, I see Jesus on that. That's how it works in real life. Little marriage tip for you. That's a little bonus for you today. I didn't charge you for it. But that's how this works. She goes, you know, I just really see the theme of devotion, being fully devoted to God being the theme this year for us. And I said, wow, that's really good. So when I looked up the definition of devotion, it says to concentrate on a particular pursuit or purpose or cause, or to set apart, or the religious term, to consecrate ourselves, which we sometimes talk about, or the back half of the other definition is to dedicate by a solemn or formal act. So we purposely, by choice, dedicate ourselves, being fully devoted to God. We make a decision, as of right now, that's what I'm going to do. I love it. And that's what I keep thinking about. Being fully devoted to God, what does that look like? Where does it start? What is the point of this? Is my bulletin-friendly message title. But really, I have to put a King Carl translation on that. I actually get the junk out of your trunk a little better. Because what being fully devoted means, we have to look at our life now and go, okay, I've got to get rid of some things possibly here, right? So here we go. I hate moving. I hate it with a passion. Oh, how I hate you moving. You know, because when you move, you have to bring all your junk with you. And we recently moved, and we weren't planning on moving. It was just God brought the right property. And when we went there to go look at the place, I can honestly tell you, I felt the Lord there and the peace of God there. And I'm like, okay, if you want this place, it's yours, baby, whatever you want. And so then obviously now that puts us in a spot where we got to deal with our stuff that we've been accumulating the last 16 years in a house raising 4 kids. There was a lot of it. And so we started getting rid of things, selling things, doing what you do, you know, lighten the load a little bit, throw it overboard, whatever you got to do, drop it off at Goodwill. That's what I mean by throwing it overboard. But, you know, then I started to think about, you know, we're like this as people. You know, we want to try to go where God wants us to go, and we want to try to take all of our baggage with us. We want to try to take our junk, keep it in the trunk, just keep pushing that lid on down. Step on it, honey. Put some more weight on it. It'll latch. Got it. All right. The good news in a fast is you can get back in your skinny jeans after doing a nice long fast. You know, you drop about 25 pounds or so, and I keep telling myself, this time I'm going to keep it off. But when you're doing this moving thing, you know, this is what the process is. It's getting rid of stuff. Or it's evaluating everything. What's here in my life? What should be here? So artwork that you see today all done by my kids at home yesterday afternoon. You will see fruit on there. Hopefully, if I were to walk into your storage area and Jesus was here looking, there would be fruit in there. You notice there's 9 different fruits in there. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, and faith. The pineapple is temperance or self-control. Cherries, love. You know, Pastor Barry says that when he's at the casino, if you get 3 sets of cherries, that's big money. That's maximum money. So I said, well, cherry has to be love. That's all there is to it. So I was assigning them all yesterday just to have a little bit of fun with it, you know. And then the other thing I know for a fact is in one of your boxes, faith. Just making sure. I forgot to look at that one. So, the Bible says that every person has been given a measure of faith. So you can't tell me, I just don't believe, or I can't believe for that, or I just can't get a hold of that, or I don't have faith to believe for a miracle. Because doesn't the Bible say your faith only has to be as small as a mustard seed? And if I had some here, you wouldn't even be able to see it from where you are because it's literally that small. But you have faith in a box somewhere. This is the one that it all starts with right here. Hebrews 11, our faith chapter, you know, talks about faith. And it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Or I like to say, it's the belief that at this moment that we're in, that God can do the impossible. I like that. King James is a little tough. The Bible would look a whole lot different if I wrote it, let me tell you. But you know, verse 6 also says something in that same chapter in Hebrews 11. And it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We have to come to Him believing that He exists, and that we have to believe and know that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It all starts with our faith. If you want to change your life, if you want to say, you know, I want to be fully devoted to God, it starts with our faith. You have to start there. And you can't tell me you don't have it because the Bible says you have it, right? Philippians 2:12, first verse today, guys. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling, okay, that's a nice phrase again, but breaking that down in the Greek, let me break it down a little more. What that actually means is you actually distrust your ability to meet the requirements of following Christ on your own, but you do your best to obey them. I mean, when you listen to the Sermon on the Mount, that is a tough message. How are you going to be able to not look at somebody wrong or not think, oh, I really hate what this person did, or, oh my gosh, we've just violated all kinds of stuff. And if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. You might say, I've never lied, but it doesn't matter. All you have is, all you need to break is one thing, and then Jesus said you're guilty of breaking all of it. Well, I'm telling you, that's pretty impossible to live like that, right? But this is about you working out your salvation. That means you have to do something. If you want to wait until God just shows up and cleans your house for you, it's not going to happen. Now, God can do whatever He wants, whenever He wants. And if you have a Damascus Road experience or something like that, wonderful. If there's a burning bush when you walk outside to look at your landscaping, great. Enjoy the moment. Take your shoes off. Sit for a while. Jesus, talk to me. But that's not going to happen to everybody. And I don't want to give you any false hope and say, wait for that moment. We have to get off our duffs and pursue God, being fully devoted. Start with our faith and say, okay, Lord, what does this look like? What do I need to do? I will tell you simply, it's this. You need to get connected to the Holy Spirit. The whole purpose why Jesus came, not only to die on the cross, that's the first part, to be raised and sitting at the right hand of the Father, yes. But there's the second part. He kept telling His disciples, look, I have to leave so that I can send the Comforter. We can't do it at the same time. I have to go back so that I can send Him. And now you have the power to do it. And that's what grace is. It's not talked about a lot in this form, but grace is the power to do what the Lord wants you to do. It's not just the unmerited favor that everybody always says. There's a power side to this thing. We're too worried about being connected to the internet than being connected to the Holy Spirit. Watch out, I might start preaching here. Forget your internet. It's not going to do anything for you. Not like the Holy Spirit can. I challenge you to disconnect your phone for a while every day. I dare you. Don't even turn it on in the morning. Get up and pursue God and say, this time is all God. All Holy Spirit. I'm not going to hear any other distraction. I want to hear what the Lord has to say. In 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 12, it says, it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those that love Him. Just let this sink into your spirit for a minute. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. I want to know what the deep things of God are. For who among man knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. You can't even understand what God's given you unless you have the Holy Spirit. You think you do, but you have no clue. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. You don't even know how great the plans are that God has for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says it too. He knows the plans that he has for us. Yeah, a hope, a future. There's a whole lot of great things there. But if you don't know what it is, what good is it? God's got this great thing, but, you know, I'm not living it. Everybody talks about all this stuff, but how do I actually do this? What's the point? It's about you being fully devoted to God, right? We start with our faith. I'm going to believe what the Word of God says. That's where it starts. You know, in one of my favorite movies, since everybody likes to talk about movies around here, is the original Matrix. With, I always tease my wife because she was a big Reeves fan, but I always call him Keanu Reeves just to make fun of him. So we talk about, hey, we're going to watch a Keanu Reeves movie. I love it. But there was a part in that movie when he went to see the Oracle, right? There's a lot of Christian themes in this movie. So when he went to see the Oracle, you know, they were having this conversation, oh, so am I it or whatever? Oh, I'm afraid not or whatever. But she pointed to a sign over the door as he was going out. It's about knowing yourself. In this process here, by stepping out in faith to get to the fruit, this is what you want to see. We have to know who we are, right? You have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. If you don't know who you are, if you're not connected to the Spirit, how will you ever discover that process? I say it's impossible. Impossible. You have to consciously make a decision that I want to find out what the Lord has for me. And it starts with your faith. I want to see miracles in here. It takes faith. Even when Jesus Christ himself was here walking on earth, there were places he went that he could do no miracles, the Bible said. Why was that? There was unbelief there all over. No faith in the people. He found absolutely bupkis. So guess what happened? No miracles. No salvations, no conversions, goose eggs all the way across. Bad day. That's how important faith is. You not having faith means don't expect to see God show up. If you have lack of faith and you expect God to show up in your life or to hear you when you pray, as you don't forgive all those people who have sinned against you, guess what? You're going to get absolutely nothing from God. Ooh, it's getting kind of heavy in here. Good. I like conviction. Be convicted. It's a good thing. It's not condemnation. It's conviction. There is a difference. We want you convicted in here. Because without conviction, you're not going to change. And then you're not going to act upon your faith, right? And we need every person in here to use their faith. Because when we come into church in here on Sunday morning, say, Lord, give me the faith to believe what your word says today. I believe there's going to be miracles. I believe signs and wonders will follow the teaching of the truth. I believe it. I want to see it. I want to see more Dexter-like stories. I told Dexter, you're going to build everybody's faith today, just sharing your story. Faith. I can feel faith coming up as he was talking. Oh, maybe that can happen to me too. There's this middle box. I don't like to touch it very much because it's a sacred thing. Very sacred. Every man has this box. It is always talked about. It is never understood. But that box exists. Oh, and we love this box. We go to this box all the time, guys. We open this box, and we love this box. It is our nothing box. Honey, what are you thinking about? Nothing. What do you want to do right now? Nothing. I'm like, really? Yeah, there is a nothing box. And this is where we go to be brain dead for a while. Nothing. Flatline. Nothing box. But, is there something in this? There is something in the nothing box after all. It is my official Tom Brady signed football. It's even deflated. I said, Tom, I need you to sign a football for me. I'm going to be using it at church. And he said, all right, Carl, no problem, no problem. It was full when I gave it to him. He signed it, handed it back to me, and it was flat a little bit. What is the deal with this guy? I should have told you to go long. That way I could have threw it all the way out there. But there's some of the things that we all know are in these boxes that we don't want to deal with because, oh man, we know what's in that box. We don't even want to go down there and look at it. It might represent maybe instead of faith, you have fear, anxiety. But just thinking about that box, I get nervous. I get anxious. The Lord's going to ask me to deal with that. I know I can't do it. Anxiety and fear live in there. Or you might be hiding something that just represents sin. Love the artwork, by the way. I think that's my favorite. I just told my kids, get crazy with it. But you know, the Lord's not asking us to go back downstairs to our sin box and open this thing up and get everything out. Let's empty all the contents again. That's not what he's saying. He's not asking you to relive it and have all the emotions with it and have all the baggage and junk and all the stuff. Okay, now you're going to be on medicine for 3 days just because you opened that box. That is not what he wants you to do. That is not the point of this. But there is a dealing with it that we have to do. We have to approach it. We have to be willing to have the conversation with God, right? Okay, Lord, I'm going to have this conversation with you about it. Galatians 5, 16 to 26. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves to do. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires to do. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. No matter what you think about it, how good it was, how awesome it is, whatever. You can intend to do all kinds of stuff. But we need to be directed by the Spirit of God. We're not under the obligation of even meeting the law of Moses, as it says here in Galatians 5. So here we are. We're at a tough point in Galatians 5. Because then it goes into, if anyone living does these sort of things in their life, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't kill me or throw water on me today. I'm not the one that said it. But we all have to go here, right? We all have to deal with this. No one is exempt. Not even Pastor Barry or Pastor Harvey. We all have to deal with these boxes. I want there to be faith and fruit on every single one. But we all know we've sinned and fallen short. And we know there's times where we get scared. So here's what I'm going to do, because I don't want you to focus on me or anybody else. I want you all just to, for just a minute or two, we're going to close our eyes, every single person. And I ask the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask him to come in here. And you might be new to this as far as him revealing to you something secret in your life. But as you close your eyes and focus, I want you to think about your life, no one else's. Not someone who hurt you or offended you. None of that stuff. I want you to think about you. Father, we worship you. We're just going to take a minute. and I'm going to read these things off. And there's a list that is listed here in Galatians 5. And as I read these things, I'm going to believe that if it applies to you, the Lord's going to reveal it to you. And I thank you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you into this place. Show us what is in our lives that we need to deal with. The first one is immorality. The Bible says God made man and woman. That's it. Man, woman. Anything other than that is sin. Period. Outside of marriage, wrong. Impurity, which is just simply impure living, impure motives. You might not be doing things for the right reasons. Lustful pleasures, filthy vices. Idolatry, and this is probably almost all of us in here at one time or another. Worship of anything other than God is simply what that is. And I'm going to speak to the leadership of the church. We have to be careful, pastors and pastors' wives, that ministry itself does not become our mistress. We still have families and we have obligations to the Lord that don't involve ministry. Sorcery is listed, black magic, or it's even the Greek word is pharmacia, which is you can use medicine to medicate yourself so that you don't have to have feelings or participate in life. Hostility, which is words that have to do with hatred and racism. Quarreling. You're a contentious person. You love to debate people for the sake of debating people. Jealousy. You are just simply jealous of another person for one reason or another. Outbursts of anger. Heated anger. Heated passions. Selfish ambition. You simply want to do whatever it makes you look good every time you do something. Dissensions. Purposely causing divisions among people. Divisions. Causing people to separate because of their opinions. Even the Sadducees and Pharisees were split over doctrine. They lived it. Envy. You just have utter spite for someone because of something they did. They offended you and hurt you, and you just can't let it go. Drunkenness. Wild parties, other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I've said before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, you can open your eyes. I believe by the Spirit of God that things have been revealed to you. And it's not to make you feel bad. Conviction is good. If you were going to drive your car off a cliff, wouldn't you want someone to go, hey, bro, there's a cliff over there. It's 200 feet down. You're going to fall off of the thing. You'd want them to stop you. Well, that's what this is about. I want the Holy Spirit to show you before you destroy yourself. There's something the Lord showed you, I'm sure. Now, we know what we're supposed to do here is not have sin in our life. We got to deal with it. When it shows up, we got to deal with it. Let me cut the music, guys. Thanks. I really hope that you take it seriously, what just happened in here, because I felt the Lord moving on people. And you might say, okay, what do we do with this now? 1 Peter 5:7 says, to cast all your cares, anxieties upon him, for he cares for you. Cast in the Greek just simply means to throw upon. But I like Webster's additional thing where it says to throw violently. So when we see these boxes, when they pop up, they might be sitting there now, or they might not be for some of you. But it doesn't mean they can't show up again. But when they do, I want you to remember what you're supposed to do with these, which is to cast, to violently throw all of them upon Jesus. Get them out. Notice I didn't take time to smell the box, open the box, love the box, cradle the box, put a bow on it before I threw it. No, you find it and you destroy it. You get it out. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do with your life. You've got stuff to deal with. So all I'm going to tell you is deal with it. Deal with it. You don't have to go talking about it if you don't want to. We're here for you. Part of it is, you know, there are people to help hold you accountable. But I want you to see that this is a process. And you know what? You might have said, there was five things on that list. Oh man, where do I start? You start at the one you got the conviction on. When I read that list and you said, oh, that one, that hurt. That is where you start. And here I'm going to tell you how good God is. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And part of that is when you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to deal with the thing that you just pointed out to me. I will tell you what's happened. I have not been in ministry as long as everybody else, but I will tell you what's happened in all the times that I've done this and taught people is the Lord will get rid of all the other ones for you. He just wants to see if you're willing to deal with the one he showed you. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know about that. Just trust me. It's that faith box again. Start with the faith that you have to believe that God can get rid of the things that are killing you right now. Remember, if you have resentments, unforgiveness towards people, I don't care how many times they divorce you, 3 times, 4 times, whatever, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I don't care how many times they robbed you, stole from you. It doesn't matter what they've done, right? I tell my kids all the time, I said, the goal of this life is for you to get yourself to heaven and to finish your race. I say it to them all the time. It doesn't matter what all this other stuff. What matters is you get there. And if you can bring some people with you, that's even better. But you got to get there. And this list will keep you out. And we have to take it seriously. We've got to deal with our junk that's in the trunk, and we've got to open that thing up and throw these boxes out. Throw them along the highway. I don't care. Just get them out. Don't take them with you no more. We want to get comfortable with this stuff because we start telling ourselves, but that's who I am. I'm this angry person. Everybody knows it. It's just me. How many times have I heard somebody say that? It is not you. It is not the real you. It's some fake version of you. I want you to be all that God's called you to be. 100%. If he had a dream, if he had a plan, if he has a purpose for you, then we want to find out what it is, right? We want you to discover what God made you for. What is the reason you're here? What is the purpose? What is the ministry that you're supposed to be involved in? It doesn't have to be at the church. It could be your everyday life. It could be the place where you go to work every day. You might be the only Christian there. Guess what? You're a missionary now. Your goal is to convert everybody in there. Get cracking. There's something for all of you to do that's right in front of us. I hope you don't forget what happened here today. Hopefully these boxes will help you remember. That's why I do stuff like that. I'm a little ADD. My wife calls it BAD. But thanks for tolerating all my antics. But I really, in sincerity, on all my heart, I mean, it's not about, in my case, it's not just making sure that I go. I want to take as many people as possible with me. And I know the whole pastoral staff of this church feels the same way. That's why we're doing this. That's why we feel the Lord has called us to you, is to show you how to do this. Now we have to walk it out. We have to walk it out. And that's what we're here for. No condemning, no judgment. I promise you will get that from the leadership of this church. You will not get that from us. We are going to love you where you are, and we're going to help you. We're going to speak faith to you. We're going to have people in church come up and share their testimonies every now and then, because that's how we beat the enemy in our life, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. When we say it with our mouth, it goes with the blood of Jesus. And then it starts breaking yokes off people. When Dexter told the story today, it happened in here. That's how powerful it is. You know, most people think, oh, their story is nothing. But your story is something. I heard a missionary say this one time to me when we were driving in the car. And he goes, Carl? And I said, yep. And he goes, everybody is somebody to Jesus. I'm like, oh my gosh. Simple yet powerful. Everybody that you run into is somebody to Jesus. They have a purpose. They have a plan. They might not know what it is, and you might think that person may never come around. It doesn't matter what you think. It matters if you're obedient or not. You just have to obey what the Lord is telling you to do. The results are completely up to Him. You might have spent a bunch of time with somebody and you think, oh, that didn't do anything. Says you, I'd rather focus on what God says. And if He told you to do it, and just because you didn't see results, are you kidding me? He is the Lord of the harvest. He is the Father of all increase. It's His job to make sure that that goes somewhere. So don't think this has anything to do with you. We have to get past that part. It's not about making you look good. It's not about you. It's about you being obedient. It's about you exercising your faith. Whenever you get fearful or anxiety, pick the box up and throw it. Whenever sin tries to come back in, you start feeling bad, you start reliving things, pick the box up and throw it and say, Lord, I'm casting it upon you. I'm going to violently toss it. Get it out of your life. This is the process of working out our salvation. Start where the Holy Spirit prompted you today. And I promise He will meet you where you are and let Him clean up your life. That's how it happens. You don't get clean just waiting for something to happen. Clean yourselves up. Get the junk out of your trunk. Amen.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.